Good morning, everyone, and welcome again to our home. The weather's a little bit unpredictable outside, and there's some southerly showers blowing through, and the breezes are up and down. So I thought it's probably best that we just come indoors, so welcome again to our home. Today I want to talk to you about the mind of God. In doing this, I believe that we can find our way just a little bit closer to understanding the one that we call God, who is our Heavenly Father. But let me tell you up front, I would like to encourage you to join with us again next week, because this is only the introduction. Next week, I'm going to complete it, Lord willing. So join with us next week as well, and let's see if we can grasp what this concept of the mind of God is. Well, let's go over to the New Testament. Paul wrote that no one can know the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And I agree with him. But John also wrote that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. So, if the Holy Spirit lives within us, then I believe He will show us what we need to know about the mind of God. And when it comes to the mind of God, I believe the Holy Spirit will use the Bible, because we believe the Bible is God's revelation of himself to us. So we're going to lean real heavily on the scriptures. So go with me back to the very beginning of the Bible. It starts off in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's where the story starts. So join with me in prayer. Father, thank you for an opportunity to approach this idea of what your mind, what you think, what you planned. And I know that our minds can't comprehend everything that you did, but you have revealed enough to us from in your word that we can have a broad idea of what your intentions were. So help us to discover that, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's go back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this is the foundation of all that we believe. But after that initial creation, well, God had a lot more work to do. In verse 3, God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. Well, if there's any doubt about the power of God in your mind, that should remove that doubt. He speaks, and in the middle of a totally dark universe, light appears. We can only stand in awe as we read that. Then God creates some space between two huge bodies of water. And I'll let the theologians explain that one to you. Then he speaks and the dry land appears. Every bit of the earth that we stand on every single day appeared at that moment. And God looked at the land and all that he's done, and he said, "That's good." Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass and trees and all kinds of herbs that give off their seeds." And then he creates the sun and the moon and the stars to bring light on the earth. And now we can see. After we're created, of course. Then God fills the seas with creatures of all sizes and shapes. And to this day, we still don't know every one of the ocean creatures he created. So there's still things we don't know. Then he makes the birds that fly and commands the fish and the birds to be fruitful and multiply. And this they did, and they filled the entire world with their beauty and their sounds. And I am so glad they did that he did that. Then God created all the animals, the beasts, and all the creepy crawlies. And God looked at it and he said, "This is good." But now God's got something special that he needs to do. So he says, "Let us make man in our own image, So humanity enters the picture, and listen closely to what God said. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. Let me ask you a question. What is the image of God? Well, again, theologians have been arguing that point for thousands of years. But I'm going to tell you what I think. Well, first of all, when an artist creates a sculpture of someone, why does he do it? Well, normally he does it so when people will see his image, his sculpture, it will cause people to think about the person that the sculpture represents, think about what they did, even talk about them, and in a lot of cases, even honor him. And this was caused simply by looking at that sculpture. Don't you think that's why God created us in his image? So, if we were created in the image of God for people to look at and honor God, let me ask the question, do they? So let's continue with our text, verse number 28. And God blessed them, that's mankind he's talking about, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God creates men and women, and he gives them complete control and responsibility for everything that lives. But there's something very important that I don't want you to miss. Look back with me to verse number 28. And God said to them. This is the only time in the creation account where God speaks directly to his creation. You see, he commanded the animals, but he speaks to humans. Could it be that the reason God created you and me is to have someone to interact with? No, I don't think he was lonely, but I do think he wanted someone who was designed to be verbally and emotionally interactive, to spend time with. Is it possible that this was the main thing that was in the mind of God when he created you and me? Let that concept sink in. I believe that God wants to have a personal interaction with his human creation, and that includes you and me. Did you know just how incredibly special that you are to God? Then he gives mankind and the animals all the plants and seeds to eat. Well, I guess originally all of us were vegetarians, but we'll leave that right there. But before we move on, consider that all the meat-eating animals, the lions, the tigers, the vultures, and birds of prey, were all vegetarian. Not a single animal had to die for food. It must have been an amazing place. So now I want you to look at something. There was a catch for men and women. First, God creates a beautiful garden called Eden. Can you even imagine what a garden that God created would look like? It would be amazing. Now let's go to verse number 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. So just after the creation, mankind was given a job to do. We were created to work. Now, I know I'm just stating the obvious, but all of us were created to stay busy and to stay productive. Now, here's the catch for our original mom and dad. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. You can have everything in the garden that you want. But of that one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you must not eat it, for if you do, on that day, you will die. Mankind had a choice to obey God or follow his own desires. Kind of like the choices that you and I have today. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve made the wrong choice and they dug right into the fruit for selfish reasons, of course. Did they die? Yes, they did, but not physically, because they continued to live. And after thousands of years of study, we've not been able to say exactly without question what died on that day. But we do know that something of great importance died because of their disobedience. But we do know the result of their sin. Because of their choice to disobey God, Adam and Eve were permanently kicked out of the garden to work in the hard ground to live. They were never allowed back in to the Garden of Eden. So you see, disobedience or sin has its price. Don't forget that. But what did their disobedience change? Well, after not too many years, Adam and Eve had two boys, Cain and Abel. One was a gardener, the other was a shepherd. The day came when they were to offer sacrifices to God, and Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's sacrifice was rejected. And because of Cain's rejection, he got angry and bitter and he ended up killing his only brother, Abel. Now look at something. This is really not quite what God intended for his master creation. How do you think that made God feel? Is there any wonder that God hates sin? Because of what Cain did, God judged him, but he didn't kill him. But anyway, man's fall is on its way. But it's not too many generations until the developing race of humanity got itself so perverted, chasing its own way, that God had enough. He taps Noah on the shoulder and says to him that he's going to send a flood to destroy the lot of them. God said of the people that their thoughts were evil continually. Far cry from the Garden of Eden. But that original sin turned loose a flood of sin. Sin had taken its toll. Man went from the garden to the gutter. And it's not a pretty sight. Well, I guess in Noah's case, he was the only one in that generation that would listen to God, which is a pretty good thing because after 120 years of building a ship that would contain Noah and his family and a couple of animals from all the different species, then God sent the flood, and this group of people in the ark were the only ones to survive the catastrophe. I believe God took one man and his family and a boatload of animals to start all over again. Why? Because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Think of that. In a completely perverted world, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Creator. So, what is this thing, grace, that brings so much good? Well, maybe you're asking, how can we find this grace for ourselves? Well, next week, I want for us to take the journey from Noah to the complete restoration of mankind. And I mean complete, almost like you're going back to the original. then we'll be able to see God's master plan and what was in his mind. We'll see his master plan of restoration. Listen, restoration's coming. Are you ready for it? There's a key, and that key is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day you've allowed us to have. Thank you for the story of mankind that we can follow so closely. And thank you that you didn't leave mankind just to be destroyed by his own choices and his own sin. You have provided a way of escape. And next week, we're going to present that way of escape. And I pray that every single person will be here to hear what you did, Lord, for us, that will bring us back to your original design. Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.